Take your bulletins, if you would, and let's read our text for the day found in the 100th Psalm and verse 3. Title of our message today is God Made Us. God Made Us. Ready? Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. May God bless the reading of His Word this morning. Most Christians will acknowledge that God has made them. Many in the non-Christian world will deny that and attribute it to evolutionary sources, but most Christians will affirm that they are a creative act of God. Moses describes the creation of man in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, where he says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A very simple statement concerning the origin of the human race, that it is to be attributable to God's creative handiwork himself, that he used here existing materials out of the dust of the ground, the minerals that came out of the ground. I forget, years ago at one time I was informed how many minerals are made up in the human body. Very, very interesting study in and of itself. Then out of the male, he created a female. The Bible describes it as that he took a portion from Adam's side. I think in scientific terms it would be that he took Adam's DNA and formed a female segment of the human race. That is, he did not create an entirely new being, but he used the existing material in Adam to create the female. Now God has four ways of creating a human being. Out of the existing earth, like he did Adam. Out of Adam, like he did Eve. Then, out of the union of a male and a female, in the process of reproduction, individual human beings come into existence. And the fourth is God has only used this one time, and that was in the creation of his only begotten Son in the womb of the Virgin Mary, where then he used her womb to bring into existence a human being. Four different ways in which that God has ordained to bring about the existence of human beings. Now here is the problem that we sometimes run into. We sometimes think, well, God made Adam man at the first, and then ever since then, why, men have been making themselves. That is, it is man which creates other men. That is only true in the sense of the use of means. But the Bible is going to emphasize to us today that however a human being comes into existence, it is to be attributed not to the means but to God. So that I am just as unique a creation of God as Adam was. Do you see that? I'm not just one of many, but that God has created me through the use of my mother and father and their reproductive system, but it is God to whom I owe my existence. David will inform us in other texts that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and you have made me. Did you note that? I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are your works, and you have made me. Did you note that he just entirely ignores the fact that he had a mother and a father? Well, of course he had a mother and a father. But when it comes time to acknowledge his existence, it's as if his mother and father weren't even in the picture. It is God who made him. And the role that I'm wanting to impress upon us today is that regardless of how you got here, it is God which got you here, if I may use that slang, all right? It is God who has put you here. We have some unique ways of human beings coming into existence today with modern technology that did not exist years ago. Some are coming into existence having been frozen in a test tube for a long period of time. And they are placed in the womb of a woman, and a human being comes out. I don't think anyone I'm looking at today that is how you got here. You say, Pastor, doesn't that cause you a problem with what you're saying? No. God will use that mechanism to bring about the creation of a human being. Even if it's in a test tube, the embryo that is conceived there between the male and the female units, it is there, and it is a human being. Now, I'm not getting off on the sidetrack today, but this produces a whole lot of thorny issues relating to abortion and things of this nature. Are these individuals which are frozen by the hundreds of thousands and are in existence today in embryonic form, are they human beings? And I have to affirm they are. Then is it morally wrong not to have them planted in the womb of a woman in order that they might continue to grow and develop in the human being? When you destroy one of those in that test tube, are you then not doing the same thing you do when you're doing it in the mother's womb? You see the enigma in which that men and women can get ourselves into by trying to play God in this matter. But we haven't time to address that ethical issue today. So the frame of the body is produced by God. It's God's work. It is a wonderful work. And therefore, David could not just satisfy himself in just barely affirming that he was created by God, but he enlarges upon it. Turn with me to Psalm 139. 139th Psalm. And beginning in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in the book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them. David's reflecting, not only did God make me, but he's the one that was there when I came into being in the womb. He fashioned me. And that's an interesting expression. It helps us to understand some expressions in the New Testament. The lowest parts of the earth, not referring to some geographical place in the ground, it's referring to the womb. You have formed me in the lowest parts of the earth. That is, hidden from what men can see inside the womb of a woman. So that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. And he said, all of my parts were being formed, yet in an imperfect state. And as they develop continuously, then this is where I am at today. I am the product of God wondrously forming, designing, and bringing me into existence in an individual manner. Just as individualistic as he did when he brought Adam out of the dust of the ground. Don't lose sight of your individuality. Just because you're in the midst of hundreds of millions or billions of human beings, it's not that you get lost in the crowd. You are as unique as Adam. You are as unique as Eve. Because it is God who made you. That makes us special. David took no notice, as I said, of father or mother, but ascribed the whole efficiency to God. Indeed, David is as much made by God as Adam was, and so is every son of Adam. God is the parent and the fashioner of us all. Look over in the book of Genesis chapter 33 and verse 5. Well, let me just quote it for us. Jacob is about to be reunited with his brother Esau. They have fallen out. And now then, Jacob sees all of these people coming toward him, sees his brother. And he says to him, "Who are those with thee?" And Esau answers, "Listen, the children which God has graciously given thy servant." The children which God has given to me. Not just these that I beget, but God has given all of these children to me. They are begotten by God. Therefore, we must realize our uniqueness in God's sight. Now, what part does this have to play in your life and mine, the life of any human being, if they take this to heart? Brother Asa, it means that God created me unique from the way that he created you, and that I am as unique as the snowflakes that fall to the earth. Am I right? Then if I realize that, I have no business comparing what I look like, what I've encountered in this life, with other people. I have no business looking out and saying, "Well, look how handsome this man is, and look how ugly I am. Look how healthy this person is, and how unhealthy I am." Stop comparing yourself with other human beings. You are unique in God's sight. God made you that way. Sort of been a joke through the years when the baby is born, "Well, is everything all right?" And by what the parents mean by that is that, well, he or she's got 10 toes, and they got 10 fingers, and everything, they're normal. There is no normality with God. God determines what each infant shall be like when they come into this world. Whether they be what we think is normal or abnormal, it is unique in the sight of God. And when that individual is raised to think that in the midst of all human beings, "Well, I didn't get a fair shake. I didn't get this, what the other person got." Then they are comparing themselves and with other human beings, and they're forgetting it is God which has made. Go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 4. Here's the call of Moses. Exodus, chapter 4. Find it here in just a minute. God is going to use Moses to deliver his people out of Egyptian captivity. And he speaks to Moses in verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, for I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. I've got a birth defect. I've got an impediment. I'm not qualified to lead all these people and communicate. Whether that meant that he stuttered. How many of you here have ever stuttered? You ever get over it? Bob, you have? You're still working on it? Well, we say of a person that that person is in my class, they stutter, as if then they're different from all the others. But if that person starts comparing themselves with all the others, then they will feel that something's wrong with them. Get it? God is saying there's nothing wrong with you, Moses. I made you this way. Look in the next verse. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb? Doesn't mean mentally hear, but can't speak. Or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind. Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. All birth defects are determined by God. How awful it is for a current mother to get an image of her yet unborn child and find out that they are, we got the mental note, but our little grand, a Down syndrome child. And I think the latest figures show that about 87% of Down syndrome children are aborted in the womb when they are found out to be that. That's murder. That's murder. Why do parents react like that? Well, I don't want to have the reputation, the image among normal people that I bore an unnormal child. We have our first grandson is Down syndrome. Great grandson. I'm being corrected. Our first great-grandchild, a little boy, Down syndrome. And he has brought more joy, more happiness into all of our family than all of our other children and grandchildren. He is a happy little boy. His mother says that, I think he's approaching 2 years old now, but his mother says that the first thing he does when he wakes up in the morning is he starts clapping. I wish I could wake up like that. Huh? I wish I could get out of bed with all this pain and ache and saying, I've got an exciting day ahead of me. Oh, let's not look down upon the speech impediment, the birth defects. God has a divine purpose when He creates all of us. All of us are special. We're not to compare ourselves one with another. It is God who hath made us, all right? Not only is it God who has made us in our normal bodies, it is also God who has made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. We didn't make ourselves. We didn't save ourselves. We didn't say, well, I'm going to make myself a Christian. I'm going to become a Christian. No, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things are become new. So that a Christian must attribute their origin to God, not to the minister or the soul winner or to any other human source which God may use as human means to bring about the salvation of His elect. God works through preaching. He works through human means. But we do not attribute the effectiveness to the human instrumentality. We say it is God who made us a Christian. It is God who saved me. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. I'll go a step further. It is God who determines to what level of spiritual maturity we shall advance to. Preached about 52 years now. I've heard a lot of good preachers. I've heard far more who are not. Some who should have never got in the pulpit to preach. They weren't called by God. But every once in a while, I'll come across at a Bible conference someone who's really a major league communicator. An excellent preacher, an excellent understanding of the Scripture to be able to handle all of the ins and outs. And Asa, you know what that makes me want to do? It makes me want to quit preaching and go get another profession. I'm embarrassed that I'm in the same profession as this man is. But you know what I'm doing? I'm doing what I'm telling us not to do. Stop comparing ourselves with others. Not everybody that I'm speaking to today has the same level of intellect to understand the Word of God. There'll be portions of it that you can grasp. There'll be other portions that you cannot grasp. There'll be people that can understand those portions and you cannot. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Keep reading the Bible. Keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. And grasp what the Lord gives you the ability to understand, all right? God determines not only the time and the date of our spiritual birth, but He determines the level of progress and how much progress we're going to make in this life before He takes us home to glory. That's good. That's good. It makes me happy. It makes me satisfied that I'm right where I belong and that I'll continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as God is pleased to do so. I've noted over the years of my pastorates that individuals that have sat for years and seemingly never evidence any spiritual growth, and you wonder, do they really know the Lord? And all of a sudden something breaks out in which that they become interested in the things of God more than they ever were. They begin to read the Bible to more, and then they advance spiritually more so to the level than those who have been growing for years. You grasp what I'm saying? Is that some may grow just like this, some may grow like this, level off, and then shoot upwards. That's determined by God. He is the author. He is the creator of spiritual knowledge. It is He who gives us this degree of wisdom, this level of understanding, as it pleases Him. God made you. He made you unique from all other human beings. And if He saved you, He's also made you unique. You are unique from all other people who have been saved. So that, Brother Jim, I'm growing at the level that God has ordained for me to grow. He may have ordained others to grow a whole lot more and a whole lot faster than this one. I'm from Missouri. You've got to show me. I got to have a lot of answers. And the only way you can get answers, ask questions. When I was in Bible college, while our classes were about 100 preachers at a class, and came to theology class at the close of each class, why the teacher was wanting to get out to get to the next one, and before the bell would ring, why, any questions, my hand would go up. What do you want now, Gables? That's the way that he replied. He got tired of having to answer my questions. But it's through asking those questions that I have found out answers. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know, and seek an answer. The answer will be somewhere to the degree that you have been given the desire to learn and know the Scriptures. Study to show yourself approved unto God, Timothy, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That's our duty, but yet our duty must be blessed by God. God made you. God made me. May we be pleased to grasp that, and oh, if we can, it will eradicate this thing of trying to determine what's normal and what is not normal. I'm unique. You're unique. Enjoy the salvation that you have in Christ Jesus, for you're His handiwork. Just as God spoke and the sun, moon, and the stars came into being and sends the snowflakes, He spoke and I came into being. It's not the means that He used to bring me into being. It's He who spoke and brought me into existence. Let's close in prayer. Father, take Your word this morning. Encourage us with this understanding that we are unique in our appearance. We are unique in our ability to talk, to see, and hear to the degree that You have determined what You would have us to be. And that everything is beautiful in Your sight, for You have created these things. Yes, enable us to shut our mouths when sometimes we would be critical of You, when we see the various handicaps and things that people possess that make up the human race. But we recognize that all of these things come from You, and one day You will make things right. Bless us now in heavenly places in Christ as we are about to partake of this supper. In Christ's name, amen.